The Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, is resisting calls to expand the JobKeeper scheme after that accounting blunder inflated the cost of the scheme by $60 billion. Treasury now estimates 3.5 million workers will be eligible for the federal government's signature economic support package at a cost of $70 billion. That's almost half the 6.5 million employees and the $130 billion price tag previously forecast.
The estimate was overstated, and the process with the Taxation Office to keep us updated on that had a flaw in it. We acknowledge that. I acknowledge that. And ultimately, I have to take responsibilities for those things. But what it means is Australians won't have to borrow as much money. This is not money that is sitting in the bank somewhere, this $60 billion. That is all money that would have otherwise had to be borrowed.
That's the Prime Minister yesterday. Our senior business correspondent, Cheryl Bagwell, joins me now. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Fran.
Well, Labor is making much of this error, an error so big you can see it from space, is what Anthony Albanese said in his first response. But as miscalculations go, how big is it and how bad is it?
Well, Fran, it is a massive blunder, perhaps underlined by the fact that Treasury pushed out the press release acknowledging it at 4:45 on Friday afternoon. But look, it was really too...
Well, do you think they were trying to bury it or they were trying to get it out?
You could see it from space, so it was impossible to bury, Fran, really. Remember, JobKeeper was hailed as the government's single biggest spending program, the biggest in Australian history, in fact. And the calculations as to its costings, it turns out, were off by $60 billion, as you said. That's the equivalent of 3% of Australia's GDP in a normal year. It's a really good thing that the government delayed the May budget, because a revision of this order would make nearly every forecast in that document wrong, you know, from the deficit to debt levels and revenue available to other programs.
Okay, so how did it happen? Are we any the wiser, really?
Well, we heard the PM yesterday. He was likening it to the cost of building a house coming in much cheaper than expected. Not that I've had
that experience. Oh, yeah, that really happens.
That really happens. But this wasn't just getting a quote or a forecast wrong. We were told as late as Thursday that the program was hitting its targets. 6.5 million workers would be covered. It turns out that only half that number have signed on. A mistake put down to an administrative error in the tax office, which didn't pick up mistakes in the JobKeeper enrolment forms. Now, apparently, a small proportion of the 910,000 businesses which have enrolled, that's a real number in the scheme, wrote 1,500, representing the amount they expected each of their workers to receive in the space where they were meant to fill in the number of workers they were enrolling. That was how the ATO got to 6.5 million workers covered by the scheme. Strangely and coincidentally, Fran, the same amount as originally forecast by Treasury. Mm. It kind of sounds like one of those computer says no moments. I would have really loved to be in the room when that person in the ATO finally piped up and asked that $60 billion question. How could that small hairdresser in Wangaratta have 1,500 employees? Mm. But anyway.
But as you say, Treasury forecast 6 million or 6.5 million. Now, that was way off. Is that a problem? And what does that tell us about...
Well, I think that's more understandable, Fran, because it was rolled out quickly at the beginning when, the predictions for the spread of the disease looked dire and perhaps the shutdowns would be longer. Mm. If it was just a forecast that they had to roll back, that would be okay. But as I said, as recently as Thursday, they were actually saying the numbers were there. In fact, it might be oversubscribed. So that's the kind of, strange. I mean, it doesn't say much for the ATO accounting office there, but as they say, mistakes get made.
Okay, well, this mistake, though, is a good one, according to the Treasurer. It's good news for the economy, and we just heard the Prime Minister there say it means we don't have to borrow so much. So can we draw that conclusion? Fewer people on JobKeeper means fewer people in financial distress?
Well, look, on the surface, it does seem to be good news. Perhaps the economy isn't as weak as first thought. If fewer workers are eligible for JobKeeper, then that means fewer businesses than anticipated have seen their revenue fall 30 to 50% as restrictions were put in place. That was the criteria for the scheme, but we don't know how many struggling businesses just found it too hard to apply for JobKeeper gave up, and how many of those workers ended up on JobSeeker or the Dole when they could have been receiving the $1,500 JobKeeper payment. Remember, 600,000 jobs were lost last month. Maybe that number could have been much lower. Indeed, Treasury is still forecasting the jobless rate to hit a peak of 10% and GDP to plummet by a similar amount in the June quarter. Economists are still forecasting a long and slow road out of this pandemic. One is Shane Oniver, Chief Economist with AMP Capital. I spoke to him earlier.
I think all the revelation that JobKeeper is covering less workers than previously expected or previously reported is telling us is that conditions probably aren't quite as bad as Treasury had first feared. It doesn't tell us much about the pace of recovery when it eventually comes. Things may not be quite as bad as Treasury first feared, but we still face a very sort of slow recovery as things gradually open up and some industries take longer than others to come back. And historically, the reality has been that when unemployment goes up, it takes a lot longer to come back down. So I think that all is likely to remain the case.
The government seems to be holding the line that it doesn't mean that they can spend more because it's a demand-driven program. But is there a case now for widening the scheme?
I think there is a very strong case to consider widening the scheme and or extending it beyond the September cutoff. Yes, a mistake has been made here, but everyone makes mistakes, and it's turned out that it's meant that the $60 billion that can be allocated somewhere else, the bond market is happily funding the government's debt. There's no problems there. The government can still borrow very cheaply, and we'd all come to expect that this $60 billion would be spent. So I think it provides the government with flexibility to widen and extend this scheme, and I think it would make sense to do that. The risk in not doing that is that we're not getting quite the stimulus being pumped into the economy that had been expected. That could mean that it will take longer for the economy to recover through into the end of the year and next year than had been previously expected. So I think all things considered, this does give the government that flexibility to extend and widen the scheme. And I think that would be the sensible thing to do.
So that's Shane Oliver, Chief Economist with AMP Capital. They're saying the government should spend the $60 billion, especially given debt is cheap and lenders are actually falling over themselves to lend to Australia at the moment.
Sure. And just finally, Cheryl, no quick recovery for the economy. That's Shane's view. It's a different story for the markets, though. They are hitting recovery highs.
Yes, the disconnect is quite stark right now, particularly in the US. The US is ranked as one of the worst countries in the OECD in terms of its efforts to control the virus. Number of deaths there approaching 100,000. 39 million Americans have lost their jobs in the past 9 weeks. That's about three times the rate here. Yet the S&P 500, the main US index, continued to climb last week. It's now up 25% on its March lows. Our market is up 18% from its March lows after plunging 37% from February highs. So you wonder whether that optimism won't hit a speed bump at some point. Perhaps US-China tensions, our tensions with China might provide it. But not today, it seems. Futures trading is pointing to a positive start to the week in trading, reversing Friday's falls of 1%. The Aussie dollar is a little lower at 65.3 US cents, Fran.
Cheryl, thank you very much. Cheryl Bagwell is our Senior Business Correspondent.